title of our Sunday school lesson today is Not in Vain, and our devotional background study is the 15th chapter of John. I'll read that at this time. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so hath I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask it of the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. If the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now they both seen and hateth both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. Would there be any announcements before we go to our class? If not, at this time, I'll ask the teachers to take charge of the class.
Everybody will. Our lesson today comes out of the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. And verses 2 through 12. And the title of it is Not in Vain. Now I'm going to back up and I'm going to read the first verse. Now today we are celebrating, or I don't know if that's the correct word or not, we are honoring those who have sacrificed our life. This is a memorial weekend. And we're honoring those who have sacrificed their life on behalf of this nation, on behalf of this country. And our lesson is about one who sacrificed his life for the world. And both have their places to be honored. Obviously, the Lord's more importantly, because he died on the cross for our sins. And so we're going to study a little bit from Isaiah about his prophecy. Now, Isaiah was many, many hundreds of years before Jesus ever came to this world. But you'll find that he believed passionately that the Messiah was going to come. And he knew that he was going to give his life. And God provided him a vision into the future that he might see what it was that was going to occur. So our lesson is his relating this prophecy to God's people. And he was relating this, remember, hundreds and hundreds of years before it was to ever happen. And you'll find that he was a little discouraged by what he knew to be coming. Not that the Messiah, not concerning the Messiah and his coming, but concerning the people who would abide by the teachings that Jesus brought to this world. So when you read the first verse, it says, "Who hath believed our report?" He is a little concerned here. "And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" In other words, his power. Who is the power revealed? "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." Now, in that second chapter, he provides some information as to the coming of Jesus as it was prophesied from the beginning of time. This prophecy of a coming Messiah dates back to Adam's day. And you can read it, you can read about this prophecy all through the Old Testament books, and you can see where this Messiah was known to everyone, or the Jews especially, to everyone at that time, that there was coming to be a Messiah. Now he says he will grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. Now, the reason that we can kind of apply his prophecy to what truly happened is because we're looking back on all of this. And he was looking forward, and it hasn't occurred yet. But you have to think that what he's saying is that there was a prophecy made to the people that the Messiah would come out of the root of David, from Abraham, from his descendants forward, would be one that would come to this earth, who would be Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Now, this sprout is a sprout off of a dry root. When Jesus came to this world, David's family, or the judicial system, was not any way like what it was intended to be. They believed in good living. They believed that because they were descendants of Abraham, that they were going to go to heaven, no matter what. And so you see, it was a dry root. And Jesus came out of it as a young sprout, out of the dry root, out of this root. And you can read all, you can trace this word, this root and plant issue back through the scriptures. I don't have time to get into that. I don't even know if I'm going to have time for this lesson. It's just you don't know which direction to go on this thing. it can go off into so many directions. But anyway, Isaiah is saying that there is going to come a sprout, this green living sprout out of this dry root, out of this dead, you might say, dead religion. And that was going to be something that people were going to turn to. Now, let me give you a little background here before I go any further. You know that when Jesus came to this earth, they knew that he was going to be, or they knew that there was a Messiah coming. The scriptures proclaimed him to be a king. Now, why they were a dry root is because they couldn't understand anything that the scriptures had to say. They thought he was going to be a king. They thought he was going to be taking over the throne one day. He would sit in a kingly throne on this earth, and he would rule the people. And the Jews would become powerful again, and they would throw off the yoke of Roman occupation, and they would become a great nation as it was in the days of David. Now, that's what they were expecting. That's what they were expecting. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Now, Jesus appeared not in this regal sense of an earthly king. He came as a common man without any splendor or without any splendor of visual wealth. He was just a common man, an ordinary man, that if they had read what Isaiah had said, they would have understood. But, you know, today, people can read these scriptures, and for some reason, they can't understand them. And why is that? Why cannot people understand the scriptures today? Why could that man, why could that man predict the end of time when the scriptures clearly say that no man shall know? Now, they answered that several times, and I never did understand what it was that they were talking about. They said that man would know, and then they would quote these scriptures where it said that God said no man would know, and they said man is bound to know. But they never could answer that. So you see, there's people today that do not understand the scriptures. Now, why do they not understand the scriptures? Because they don't have the Spirit of God. They have not met Jesus himself. And they don't have the understanding that Spirit can place in our heart, that we can read the scriptures and understand what they're talking about. When the scriptures say, repent, be saved, we understand it. But I'm telling you, there's a world out there. There's a world of people out there that have no idea what that means. None whatsoever. So you see, they were expecting one thing. Isaiah said they was going to get something else. They were going to get a common man without any splendor whatsoever. And it goes on to say, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. In other words, we did not appreciate what he brought to this world. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did not esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. In other words, we didn't appreciate what he's going through. Now we find in, let me see if I can find this real quick. We find in 1 Peter. Second verse. Second chapter, 24th verse. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. It says who his own self bare our sins in his own body. Now, where I'm going with this, I think, is the appreciation that we should have for those who have given their lives on our behalf. Throughout history, men and women have willingly given their lives for the good of mankind. Just as Jesus gave his life so that our souls can be free, so has our kindred, our relations, our neighbors, our friends and loved ones given theirs so that our lives can be free. And we're in a weekend here where we're honoring those who have given their lives. And no better day than today to honor the one that paid the ultimate cost for not just us that are sitting here, but for the whole world. Now tomorrow will be the day we honor those who gave their life serving their nation and providing the freedom that we have for this country. But today, let's think about the one who gave his life, that I might, as a 7-year-old boy, found salvation through his death, burial, and resurrection. And that's something that we should appreciate, that we should look back on his life and see what he gave up for our benefit. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we were healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. So many of us today are walking aimlessly through this life, aimlessly, with no thought given to what great blessings there are available to us through the sacrifice that our Savior made on the cross. And this has created a world fraught with fears and sins and fears. Well, let's go back to fears. Fears that this world is going to end. You know, there was a lady, a woman, who tried to kill her two children and herself because she didn't want them to go through the pain of the rapture of the end of the world. Well, I tell you now that when the end of time comes, God's people, it will be the happiest moment. I don't know how it's going to be. I don't know how it's going to go. But I know one thing. We're all going to be happy. And that's the way, that's the problem with the world. They're out here looking and they're searching for things and they have gone astray and they're all worried about what is going to happen with the end of time. Now, I think one good thing that came out of this episode, and for my lifetime, there's been several times that people have proclaimed the end of the world. I can remember when I first started work downtown, there was a guy that walked around on the street corners, on the streets, on the sidewalks for weeks with his sign saying the end of time is going to come whenever it was. He walked around. Nobody paid any attention to him. At least this time, a lot of people got interested. And I just hope and pray that that interest will carry them to the scriptures or to a place somewhere where they can hear truly what saith the Lord. Because people are out here searching, they're looking. But we as God's children already know that the end of time is not anything to fear. Now, when I think about it, do y'all think about it? When I think about it, I wonder how it's going to be. And you get a little anxious. What's really is going to happen? I don't know. And it's the same thing. I don't know how it's going to be to die. But whether we die naturally or whether we leave this world because of the end has come, there's going to be people there that's going to take care of us. God himself, for one. God, his Son, and the Spirit for the other. all the angels. I'm getting way off the subject here. But y'all have heard me tell the story about the preacher in West Tennessee who died. I've told the story many times because it really sets my mind to thinking he was laying in the hospital and Kenneth Massey was there, and that's where I heard this. That's who I heard this from Kenneth. He was there as his pastor, and he was an old preacher who had been preaching for years, and he was laying in the hospital in his last hours, and his family was there. Kenneth Massey said that all of a sudden, he hadn't said a word, he just laid there. They knew the end was near. All of a sudden, he reached over and grabbed his wife, and he said, "Do you see him?" And she said, "See who?" And he said, "Do you see the angels?" He said, "They're everywhere." And he died. And Kenneth said that the hair on his arm just stood up. There's people there. There's beings there that's going to help us at the end. Whether it be the end of time or whether it be our death. And we come to a day when we're set aside to thank those or to remember those who gave their life for our freedom. But let's don't forget God. Let's don't forget to give Him our thanks for His Son who came to this earth and died so that we might be free. And so we might be free from fear, free from angst, free from all things that would take our mind maybe away from the many blessings that He has in store for us. Isaiah was prophesying here about this one that was to come. He was worried because there wasn't many who was going to hear. He was surprised. But you know, we're just a small group of people. Small group of people in this world, and yet we have it all. We have it all. We have the blessings from God. He's looking down upon us this morning as His people. We have a special place in His heart. We're His people, and He loves us, and we should thank Him each day for the blessings that He gives us. Thank Him each day for just allowing us to wake up. I have got so far off of this lesson, but listen. No matter what you do in your life, you need to thank God each day for what He's given you. You are His, and you know Him, and He knows you. And Jesus says, "My sheep know My voice." I know His voice, and I've never seen Him personally. But I know it. And I can tell you each time that He speaks to me. Because my insides become a little shaky. You can just feel that power of it. And you can feel that love. And you can go down on your knees and think, "We're going to the cross and dying that I might have that feeling this morning. And know that He is real. And know that one of these days we're going to see Him." We should thank Him for the sacrifice that He made for us. He was oppressed and He was afflicted, yet He opened not His mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so He openeth not His mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare His generation? For He was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgressions of My people was He stricken. And He made His grave with the wicked and with the rich in His death, because He had done no violence, neither was any deceit in His mouth. Isn't it amazing how much Isaiah knew? Isn't it amazing? He said He made His grave with the wicked. He was crucified between a thief and a murderer. And with the rich in His death, He was buried in a rich man's tomb. How amazing what it was that Isaiah knew about this man Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Isaiah was talking about Jesus. And long before Jesus ever came to this world, Isaiah laid out exactly his life and warned the people, warned them about the coming Messiah, that they should be on the watch for him. Yet, how many of them turned him aside when he came to this earth? And we look back on it. Isaiah was looking forward on it. We're looking back. But Isaiah was talking about the same Jesus that we know. He's the same one. He's who saved Isaiah. Remember, Isaiah looked forward by faith. We look back. Isaiah knew that he was going to die for the sins of mankind. That came about 2,000 years ago. And we should thank him every day for what he's done. That you see the title, not in vain, that his death be not in vain. That we as his children humble ourselves before him to do that, that he would have us to do. Anyone have any questions? I tell you, I read this and I studied this and I thought, my goodness gracious, was Isaiah there? Did he get to see the whole thing because he described it? And you know, really and truly never saw it. But you wouldn't know it by what he was talking about, because he nailed it with his prophecy. Anyone else? Their lives for the freedoms that we enjoy today, but there's a lot of people that gave their lives for the freedom of our souls that we have. Let's thank those people, because not only should we thank God, but you know, we should thank those who brought this message across the Great Sea and landed it on the shores of America, helped create this government. Now, this government may not be what everybody wants, but it's the freest form of government this world has ever seen. So right now we're having to take the good with the bad, but let's pray for both of them. Pray for both of them. Anyone else? Brother Don, would you dismiss us?